Yeah, it is Thursday night. Time to talk a little nerdy here. Let me do something because that was weird. My stream started. It was all weird the way it started. So I'm going to go audio only. I'm not using the camera. My camera's jacked up. So yeah, that will work. We are live on the YouTubuses here and simulcast over on Gun Channels. Who's hanging out over there? Gary and Not Strikes over that way. It's like DT Viper. Cool. Post that link here on the YouTube side per usual. So, yeah, go check out Gun Channels. A lot of cool stuff over there. Hit up that schedule for sure and check out all the shows. There's, golly, round the clock almost content. So, anytime you're looking for something to watch, you can probably find something live, and if not, you can certainly find something in replay. Georgia Rebel up there says, nerdy and dirty. I don't know about dirty, but we will certainly get nerdy. We're going to talk a little bit tonight about elements within a video, pretty much start to finish. We're going to start with probably the what they call the hook or the teaser going to intros. And then from there, we'll talk about some screen overlay elements. We'll talk about cards and then finally end screens. And we'll kind of talk about best practices for those. We'll talk about what they can do for engagement. Some different things like that. So welcome, welcome, welcome. Let's run through the chat. Looks like Mr. Mad Sexy came in first. Hemi hanging out that way. Zippy. Double A, Snowy. We've got Patriot out that way, as well as Mohawk Boy and JJ and the Doctor, the Tactical Chicken, also hanging out in the chats. Georgia Rebel, Liberty Cat out that way, and a few other ones. Hopefully, I didn't miss anybody. There's a Vanessa Kitty I see too. So yeah, that's what we're gonna go over. Let's run through the. Run through the panel here. Let everybody say hi, and then we'll kick this mule. Too Hottie, what's up, bud?
Hey, not much. I appreciate the invite. It's been a while since I've had the chance to jump on one of your podcasts, so I'm happy to be here.
You recently hit an Instagram milestone, didn't you?
I did. Yesterday or the day before, I hit 1,000, and then a few hours later, I popped back down to 995, but I think today I'm back over 1,000. So,
right. Yeah, that
back
happens.
And forth, with... Back and forth, back and forth. It's part of the game.
Yeah, that happens on YouTube, and then I see it happen. It happens worse on Instagram for me. I'll hit a number, 300, 400, 500. I think I'm a little over 6 now, maybe. But it breaks that, and then it'll be like 612, and then I'll check tomorrow to be 598. And then next day it'll be 603 and next day it'll be 596. It's weird the way it goes up and down. But as long as the overall momentum is going up, I guess it's all good. Nice Strike. What's happening?
Hey, what's going on? It's been a while.
Yep. And Budget, what's up, man?
Not much. Same old, same old. Glad to be here, Clover. Thanks for having me. Love this show, and it looks like we'll have a good set of topics tonight.
Hopefully so. G, welcome, bud.
Thanks. Thanks for the invite.
And Ghost, how are you?
What's going on? Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah. So, let's jump into this. We've talked about teasers and hooks before. And what that is, it's an element at the very front of your video. I mean, we all know that you've got to work with, especially the title and the thumbnail to, try to get that person to click. Right. But then you've got a limited amount of time for it to get their attention. And then it's got to kind of line up, I guess, with the they're going to want to know if the content is lined up with the thumbnail and the title, because that's what caused them to click. So if they click on that and it's some clickbait stuff, if you it's got top five chicks in bikinis, and it's the chick in a bikini on the thumbnail, and they click on it, and there's some old dude sitting in a lounge chair smoking a cigar talking about 18th century French literature or something, then odds are they're probably going to leave pretty quick, right? Because that's not what they intended to view when they clicked. So that teaser, that hook, a lot of creators will use that. They'll either pull a highlight from the video, something, a little section that's fairly interesting, or they'll just come out on camera and say, you know, something to the effect of, yeah, hey, have you ever wondered about this particular model pistol and how well it fires or whatever? You know, that's what we're going to do today. So, you know, hang around after the intro, whatever. And typically those teasers, I mean, you don't want them real super long. Pretty quick, pretty precise, and to the point of what the content's going to be about, right? And, you know, 10 seconds, I would say, probably is going to be about the maximum. And you can get a lot said, and you can actually capture somebody's attention, I think, within that 10 seconds, depending on if you're using a little portion of the content in there, either way that you want to go with that. So I want to run that through and just kind of get thoughts on, you know, has anybody use that before? I know we all kind of switch up and play with things and try different things, but, you know, do you use that approach? When you use that approach, do you see any type of difference maybe on engagement, or, you know, if you've tried it, have you seen, you know, maybe retention be longer or something like that?
Hey, Clover and everybody else in the room, I mean, I guess I'll pose this question. I mean, with me not doing too much on the video side, am I understanding this correctly, as in your teasers and hooks are a combination of your title, your thumbnail, and maybe the first 10 seconds to whatever your intro of your video is?
No. Your hook all revolves around that content, right? So as a viewer, you're out there and you're thumbing through YouTube, or you're thumbing through any other platform. You know, this is not necessarily YouTube specific, right? You're thumbing through a platform, and the first thing you're going to see probably is going to be a thumbnail, right? You're going to see a thumbnail of, let's say it's a guy shooting an M1 Garand, right? And then you look at the title, and it's like, you know, whatever, ammunition review for, you know, federal ammunition review for M1 Garand or something, right? And you're like, okay, that's interesting. Well, you're gonna tap that. You're gonna click on that. You're gonna, you know, that has piqued your interest. You want to see an ammunition test or whatever with an M1 Garand. So when you go into that, okay, the hook is people click on that. Well, when they go into there, they want to know that that's the video that they clicked on. They want to know that the content of that video is going to be what they wanted when they clicked. Does that make sense? You know, you go in and you order a Big Mac, and they hand you a box. That box says Big Mac, right? It's not a generic box. If that's not a generic box, what are you going to do? I mean, if it is a generic box, what are you going to do? You're probably going to open it and make sure they give you a Big Mac, correct? So, you know, they're going to want to know, is this something that I wanted to watch? So that's what the hook is. The hook is to set something right off the bat that lets that person know, hey, you clicked the right video. You know, you wanted to watch this for M1, you know, Garand ammunition test. You know, so that hook would be, they would click the video, it would come in, and you'd say, hey, today we're going to check out the new federal ammunition, you know, through an M1, you know, a MilSERP M1 Garand. Stick around, you know, or hang on till after the intro, you know, or whatever. And that's that hook that lets them know they're in the right place, right? So that's what I mean by the hook, something that they don't just click and then within 10 seconds click off. That's where putting... And I've done it, and I do it occasionally. It depends on the video, because I play around on my channel with all sorts of things. But, you know, sometimes people will go in and they'll put their intro right up front. And a couple of problems occur even if their intro is not too god-awfully long, right? Even if it is a short intro, it's still too long because that person clicked and they expected some content and they're getting an intro, right? It's like, okay, I'm seeing this guy sharpen knives and, you know, interview somebody and shoot, you know, Tavor and just whatever, right? And they're like, this isn't what I clicked for. I clicked to see some stuff about, you know, M1 Garand. So setting that hook lets people know, hey, you've got the right video. It's coming up. You know, just hang tight for a second, basically. But like I said, I've played around with these formats and different formats. So just curious if other people have utilized that. What are their thoughts on being able to capture attention and stuff with that? Ghost, I'll start with you.
Yeah, I do the same thing. I mess around a lot of different things. I'll start sometimes with a coming up and do like a little clip, a 5-10 second clip of what's coming up in the video. I've done ask a question saying, you know, have you ever wondered what a great ammunition for your M1 Garand is? Well, stay tuned and we'll find out and all that. I've done a whole lot of different things. And I think, like you said, you try to mix it up to where, at least I do, I try not to make it to where every video is the same. So the beginning of my videos try to be a little bit different. They use the same stuff, but I don't use, like, I won't do the same intro usually two times in a row or something.
Right. I got you. G, I know with a lot of yours, I know you're a big proponent and you've done fairly well, I guess, with just basically kicking on the camera, right?
Yeah, but, my videos are too short and I don't put any effort into encouraging people to pay attention to my production, so I never really do intros. I understand the concept of it, and I imagine if I was going to do something that was longer than 5 minutes, I would certainly do that.
Yeah, right, yeah. Yeah, and that's what... you know, the one I put out, I think, was like 1:21 or something the other day. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to do it. I'm going to throw the intro up. I'm going to do a hook. And I didn't even put an end screen, which we'll talk about end screens here in a little bit, because there's a couple of things we're going to talk about that I think I'm doing wrong. And I'm actually going to change it up and mix it up and try some things that are new. Where is, Hemi out there? He says, yeah, any longer than 10 seconds and you've lost most of America. 10 seconds. It's a long time to focus for most folks nowadays. Yeah, and that's where that hook is important, because they click and at least they get a little bit of the content right off the bat. So hopefully it captures that attention. That's why they call it the hook, right? It's kind of like fishing.
Is that before your intro or after your intro?
Yes, the hook and the teaser is before the intro. Yes. Yes. Did you have another question?
Nope, that's it. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Okay. Budget.
I do the same thing in just about every video, and I have from the beginning. I introduce myself, introduce my channel, say what I'm talking about, and introduce my value proposition. For example, an upcoming video I'm planning to do is going to be, hi, I'm Mike, this is Budget Guns and Gear Reviews. Today we're going to take a look at the Taurus Tracker and 44 Magnum. Stick around, maybe we'll learn something together. And I do that for a couple of reasons. One, branding. If you do it the same every time, there's no doubt that that's a Budget Guns and Gear Reviews video. Number two, people like what's familiar. So if you do the same thing, it's comfortable, they expect it, it's familiar, they like that. And three, it does those things I talked about. It introduces who I am and what my channel is for people who may be watching for the first time. Then it tells everybody, okay, this is what the video is going to be. And then the value proposition is, hey, maybe we'll learn something together. So that's what I do and why I do it.
Right. The only, and I don't have any disagreements there, I don't think. The only thing that I would say there, number one, if you're doing the same thing over and over and over and over, I would suggest not necessarily changing what you do, but changing up what you do. Does that make any sense? Just to kind of play around, maybe change you know, work on maybe the length, how long you're on camera talking before the intro. You know, whether or not you do it with standing in front of a camera or maybe a voiceover with a clip from the content itself.
I do that once in a while.
Yeah. Changing up the style, not the method necessarily, but like the style of delivery.
I'll do that once in a while, particularly if I forgot to shoot my hook.
Right. Yeah.
Which I do sometimes.
Yeah. I'm bad about that with thumbnails myself. And that's one thing that we can, I guess we can throw into the mix a little bit, but, you know, we've talked about it before. Thumbnails are important. And I know that I fall short a lot of the time on thumbnails because while I'm filming, I have the opportunity to take a picture and get a pretty cool thumbnail a lot of times. And I'm not in thumbnail mode, taking picture mode. I'm in shooting video mode. Right. And a lot of times I overlook that. So I got to try to go back after the fact and pull a frame out or, you know, use some kind of a stock photo or something like that. And I don't think it has quite the effect when you do things like that. Nostrak, what are your thoughts on all of that?
You really shouldn't ask me. I'm just getting started into the whole produce content thing. I've normally just done all things live. So I haven't really done a lot of this stuff. These are new ideas that I'm actually taking notes on right now.
That's why I asked what your thoughts on that. I didn't say, how do you do it?
He's never seen a video or never interpreted the style of a video he's watched.
Yeah.
I watched the video to get the contents. I don't question their methods.
He watches YouTube in Braille. That's what he's saying. He's got the Braille version of YouTube. So
I don't watch YouTube. I have people watch.
No. I've got the Swahili version. Get it right.
Night Strike. I think what we're talking about here is things that would, in that first few seconds of the video, that would make you just click off and go find another video with the same subject title, versus something that's going to make you actually stick around and know that what, and if I'm understanding this correctly, know that what you're seeing in the title, know that what you're seeing in the thumbnail, mm-hmm. and then there is going to be what you're going to get out of the video.
If I knew the secret to that, I would be doing much better on YouTube. Let me tell you.
Well, I mean, you hit the nail right on the head there, Scotty, is, you know, if you're searching for a specific thing, there could be 25 videos out there that are talking about the same exact thing. What are you going to do to set your video aside and make that one person say, you know what, of these 25 videos, I'm going to stick around and try to learn from this guy, you know?
Yeah, well, as a creator, you have to sell that yours is the one they need to stick around and watch, right? And you're going to have to do that pretty quickly.
That's right.
Holly, I know you've jumped in a couple times, but I'll end up with you if you've got any thoughts or anything to add.
No, I really don't. Since I don't do much content on YouTube or video, period. I just wanted to make sure that I understood your whole.
No, that's fine. I mean, just because you don't make videos, you know, we talked about this before. You've asked some good questions and you've asked for clarification on some things. But there may be people out there that are asking those same questions for clarification. So it's good to ask questions. Not a problem.
It's about all I can do when it comes to certain
right.
Certain things that we are discussing, you know.
Right. Now Patriot out there, he says, what's wrong with Braille? He said, I like to see you try to learn it. Yeah, I don't think I ever could. It amazes me. I've got a buddy and I know we're gonna get off on a tangent with this just for a second, but I've got a buddy and his wife is blind, and I mean she uses the internet just like everybody else. And I'm like, how in the world? And she's got like a Braille keyboard and it at the top of it, it like pops up the Braille or whatever according to what's on the screen, and it's weird. Crazy technology and learning how to utilize that, because I've tried that before on anybody else that's fell to the bathroom signs and whatever. Well, I'm like, I don't see how somebody does that, but yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing what the human body can do, I guess, sometimes when people are willing to learn it, of course. So yeah, let's move on. The next element as we move through a video, and it could be the first element, depending on what you're doing, is the intro. And intros are a tricky thing, because as a whole, across most, you know, most all videos, video platforms, that sort of stuff, and even with TV, you see this, right? You know, people do their, you know, whether it's a sitcom or whether it's a movie or wherever it's whatever, and they got, you know, their logos and all their stuff run, or, you know, they've got to go through their theme song, you know, so to speak, or whatever. And that's basically an intro, right? And a lot of people fast forward through that stuff, you know, it's, they just don't want to watch it. And it holds true for digital media, in a lot of ways too. So the shorter, the better when you're talking about some type of an intro. Intros do way better with some type of music, sound effects, some type of audio with them, obviously, as opposed to just a silent rotation of videos or something. It's going to hold attention a little bit better, because that's what we're talking about. We're talking about with these elements, we've got to be able to get attention. We've got to be able to hold attention. And then we've got to be able to direct attention when we get later on into cards and other things. So, you know, the 3 to 5 second range on some kind of intro is actually optimal. You know, if you're running, you know, my opinion on this, and most opinions out there are actually going to be less. They're going to say probably 10 seconds max. I'm going to say that you could probably get away with 15 second max, depending on your channel. Getting much crazier than that, and I just don't think it's going to work. But back to what I was saying, the intros are more, it's kind of like what Budget mentioned earlier. The whole intro thing is more for a couple of things. They hold a little bit of weight and are a little bit valuable if you have people sharing your content, right? So if somebody goes on and then they share something, let's say it's a manufacturer's page or a group dedicated to a manufacturer or a bulletin board for a manufacturer or something like that, then they've shared that, and it's kind of a subtle in-your-face way of saying that this content came from your channel, right? So there's a little bit of channel promotion there. And then the probably the biggest element is the professionalism of it. As far as your branding goes, it just makes everything a little more consistent, because we're used to that with branding. We're used to seeing those logos in front of movies. We're used to seeing the, you know, the theme songs and the intros to TV shows and things like that. So it's something that I think we've become accustomed to over the years, really, whether we like it or not. So again, like I said, a little bit of a kind of a symbol, I guess, maybe of professionalism in a way. Hottie, I'll let you start first on this with your thoughts on the whole intro thing.
My thoughts on the whole intro thing, and I say this as a consumer, as a someone who watches the YouTube stuff. You know, intros are great, and like you did say, Clover, it's best to keep them short and sweet and to the point. I also have a different opinion on people who have a certain intro and they use that same intro over and over and over. And if there's one part of it that either bugs me visually or bugs me when it comes to audio or something like that, if it's five, Clover, I'm going to bring you out here. I mean, I'm going to mention one of your intros. When you're doing your intro, and then you have your five gunshots, and they're taking out the O's in your Clover Tack logo, five or six gunshots.
Right. That's an old one, but yeah.
And it's not only you, but when you're with your videos, but I'm guilty of scrolling through the 10 seconds that I know that whole intro is going to go on for, right, and then getting into the video. So I am someone who is guilty of that, but there are certain things that's going to get somebody to sit down and watch the whole intro, or that's going to turn them off, and you just don't want to turn them off to a point where they just exit out of the whole video together.
Well, let me interject this for a second, because I've deviated away from that, obviously, on the ladder stuff, but that was a starting point, I guess, for me. And I didn't particularly care for it that much myself, to be honest with you. But I'll interject this into the mix before we get on to everybody else, is possibly having multiple intros at your disposal. And like we were talking about with budget earlier, though, changing up the style maybe of those a little bit. Would that help? Potentially, where the viewer doesn't necessarily know which intro it might be. It may be one he's never seen before, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So that's something that I didn't think about until you mentioned it there. Night Strike. Any thoughts, opinions, questions on that?
No, not really.
Because you've got your intro. You've got an intro.
Yeah, but that's something I just made in what you call it.
But it really is intro, though. I'm just joking.
Yeah, it's just something I downloaded some YouTube. Copyright free music. Just applied it to some images and Cyberpower and or Cyberlink, and just ran with it.
Yeah, still in it. Still intro though. Budget.
I'd like to do it better, but
Well, I mean, it all still learning. Like Cody was saying about mine, I started out, I think I didn't use any intros at all, and I moved into, it was just a static image with some music or something, and then I moved into, so it's a progression that it's like we've been talking about. Change things up every now and then and try new things. And the beauty is we went over analytics, and especially the new YouTube Studio beta and all the analytics you can pull and, change things up, and you got to do it. You can't do it just for one video. You got to change it up for, a couple of weeks maybe or something like that, several videos, and then look at those analytics, look at those metrics, and see if it's making a difference.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Budget.
My thoughts on intros have changed. I used to use an intro after my hook. I used to use a long intro and scenes from different videos and whatnot. Then I made kind of a shorter one. And now all I'm doing is I'm flashing my logo for 2 seconds, then moving on to the content. I don't have enough data yet to know whether or not that's had an effect on watch time and audience retention. My gut tells me that it's better, that I'm not going to see quite the drop off that I used to, but I'm going to give it a few more videos and see how that works.
Right. Now, Gizzard out there, he's saying that Jarhead 6, he talks for about 10 seconds, rolls to about a 5-second intro, and then goes into the content. So, yeah, that aligns pretty much with what I was saying seems to be the norm, I think, that everybody suggests. And as far as skipping intros, I can tell you right now, I do it on, I know how long Yankees is going to be. I can go to about the 16 or maybe 17 second mark and get straight to the content. And I do that every single time on Yankees. He's had the same one forever now. And it's like, okay, I'm moving on.
Totally. And honestly, it's the same for, I mean, any one of us who watch a certain YouTube channel and watch it, kind of regularly, if they do have that same intro going, we know what parts we can skip to save 10 seconds and actually get to the point. Yeah. But
then you get into the issue, is dropping the intro completely, if you do that, do you risk new people that have come to the channel and maybe that intro, them seeing that intro for the first time, they're seeing snippets from other content you have or something that they're a little more interested now in your channel. And if you dropped it all together, you wouldn't have that element. So I think there's a sweet spot there that you're dealing with.
That's a great point you just brought up. Absolutely. I mean, you can't drop it all together because, people are going to miss it. But your devout followers who know it
and get tired of it.
Who know it and have seen it a thousand times, they're going to be the ones who are fast forwarding through.
Right. Yeah. And that's something to put out there for those watching, for those that, that's all they do is their viewers out there is, I mean, that's the reason that a lot of times you have to put up with an intro or, something going on is it's not out there to aggravate you. It's out there to entice, newer viewers, I think. Mike jumped in with us from Munition Weapons Tactical. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. How's everyone doing tonight?
We are fine, man. We're just talking all kinds of nerd stuff about videos and other things. Go ahead and maybe catch you up to speed a little bit before we move on. But as far as your intros and things like that, how do you approach that with your stuff?
Well, I started off with, because I noticed like a lot of people have some very great intros and a lot of people have very lame intros. But for me, I just pretty much put my content out as what do I enjoy looking at? And I like to keep things simple. And, but like I said, the way I just approach it is just a matter of what I feel, what I think will capture somebody's attention just for a little bit.
Right. Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah. Get that, capture them, keep them there long enough to get into the meat of the subject, maybe, so to speak.
Yeah. I put together this, video. It's called Walking into 2016. If you go to YouTube and look for it. Mm-hmm. And the concept of that video was when I first started teaching classes was to bring people like the interest into it. Like, okay, this is what I've done now to be continued is for you to come to the class. But a lot of people actually contacted me and was like, hey, I'm waiting on part two to come out. I'm like, yo, part two is you coming to class. That's to be continued.
Right. Yeah.
But like I said, if just go check it out. Tell me what you think of it. And a lot of people actually contacted me on that video.
Right.
Well, it's obviously a good intro if people are contacting you about it. It's a cliffhanger, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, right. Correct. Yeah, right. It's doing its job. Now, I know, G, you popped over there in the side chat. You want to just go ahead and explain what you're talking about there?
So, yeah, they suck. And everybody hates them, but that's why they're so easy. So they're it's just like a tie or having, ironing your pants or whatever. It's your first impression. Like you said, you don't know who's watching your video. And if it's the first time they're whatever, you're getting a first impression with them. So it's critical and everybody blows it off. So it's easy to make yours better than everybody else's. So, there's a million different ways you can play with an intro to keep it interesting. And with a good intro, not only do you see interest in somebody who's new to your channel, but if you keep it interesting, it's a part, something that people look forward to. Mm-hmm. It's something, maybe it's not the best part of your show, but it's certainly people are going to be there to see it. And look at Star Wars.
That's true.
They show up late for Star Wars. Is this pretty much the same one every time?
Yeah, people literally start cheering when it starts.
Yeah, yeah, and it's different words, but the exact same thing. Yeah,
and because it's so critical, and so many people go, "Oh, it's obligatory," and I already made one. Then it's an angle that you got potentially to blow your competition away. Look at Hickok. You made a new intro ever?
Right. Right. Ghost.
I look at intro as just another form of branding. Like you said, the people that are going to religiously watch your videos, they probably are going to skip over, and that's okay. I try to change my intros up. I've got four or five that I kind of go to, And I'm always looking for, when I'm looking at other people's videos, if I see an intro that I think is kind of cool, I might make one that's kind of my flavor of something else. But yeah, I think that it's branding, especially for the newcomer. And you want to provide them with something that kind of says, okay, this guy actually cares about his channel. He cares about his content. So he's taking the time to kind of come up with what he thinks is a cool intro. Whether or not it's cool or not is up to the person who's watching. But I think it does show that you put a little interest and in time into creating an intro. But more importantly, it's just about the branding.
I totally agree with that.
All right. Awesome. So moving on here, find the what else I got. This one is a little interesting. This one is something that, and I don't know, you know, I'm gonna drop some names, and you feel free to go look them up. I mean, if you're a creator, viewer, whoever you are listening, if you're more interested. But I was watching a video here a few days ago, and I'm like, this is something I think I'm gonna try. And honestly, I think Roll Call out there, he did, it wasn't this, but it was interesting. He used kind of a similar thing in his video where, I think he got the autograph from American Gun Chick or something. And he had these little, he would say like a word or something, and he would have some kind of little graphic pop up on the screen somewhere randomly that was related to the word he said or something. And so that's essentially a screen overlay, right? And I thought, okay, that's interesting. Didn't really think a whole lot more about it at the time. And I was watching a video from Nick Niman, and I believe it was Nick Niman. May not have been, but I believe that's who it was. And partway, right at the first of the video, there was this staticky thing, and text popped up on the screen. It didn't overpower the screen or nothing, and that's important with your overlays. You don't want them to be the size of the screen and block the content. But it kind of staticked and come up, and it was like, you know, subscribe or subscribe before you leave or something. And it was there for a few seconds, and it went away. And I thought, wow, that's a cool way potentially to do calls to action, whether it's, hey, you know, comment or subscribe or like or share or whatever, right? That's kind of a cool way to do like a call to action without actually having to do, you know, say it, you know, a call to action. And that's also a cool way used in the way Roll Call was using it, where the little graphic or the something, you know, popped up randomly on the screen whenever he said something. So, couple little notes I've got on screen overlay. Obviously, they could be really good for calls to action. You don't want to overpower your content, meaning you don't want to make those screen overlays screen size and huge or anything. And you want them to be temporary and in transition. So, I'll run backwards through the room and just ask, you know, thoughts on that. Have you seen any videos that utilize things like that? And if you don't, is that something that, you know, you think might potentially spice things up? Ghost?
Yeah, I've seen it before. And yes, I have actually, I'm actually working on some different things to do throughout my videos that are not necessarily content part of it. And it's not going to take, like you said, take over the screen, but it's something that might grab your attention and all that. So I'd like to think that my videos aren't boring, but if they are boring, then maybe something like this will wake the people up and say, oh, okay, great, he's got something else besides what he's talking about. But no, I think it's a great idea. And like you said, always trying something new, something fresh and something different. You know, I think that's really the most important thing with your content, is if you're doing the same thing over and over again, it does get redundant. But if you're always trying new things and different things, I think that's how you keep viewers coming back.
Yeah. Yeah. And one thing that I thought about, particularly with this and your call to actions, is most people, I see a lot out there that are big names and big channels, and it seems like they come right out of the box with subscribe, right? It's like the fade in, you know, make sure you subscribe to our channel, right? And then And I fell into a situation to where all of that was at the end. It was in an end card. It was, you know, whatever. And you got to realize your average watch time is considerably lower than by the time that end card starts, right? So I'm thinking, you know, I'm really not reminding people, because especially if they get involved in the content and they're involved in that content, and then it fades and or whatever, and it goes into an outro, you know, and they click off. Well, they've clicked off at that point. They've watched the content maybe, but they clicked off before you reminded them, hey, click that subscribe button down there, right? So those little reminders, I guess you could call it, or something like that, periodically through a video, I think maybe could hold some weight. Now, I'm not alone in that. There's other people that think that too, of course, but what do you think about that, G? About little graphic overlays and stuff?
That thing that sounds manipulative to me, and I wouldn't go for that kind of thing.
G's not falling for it.
Yeah, he's above mind games, guys.
Yeah, yeah. He Jedi mind tricks don't work on G, I guess, is what he's saying.
Yeah, I heard he might have been one of those Jedi warriors in the army.
Right. Budget.
This is something that's actually on my list of things to do when I get the time to make some overlays for this, for exactly the reasons you talked about. You know, and I usually give my, if you like what you saw, please like, et cetera, at the end of my videos. And, you know, people are clicking off by that time because the content's over. So, yeah, I think that doing a quick little subscribe, pointing at your subscribe button, you know, or something like that's probably a good idea to do that earlier in the video. Maybe not first thing out the gate, but certainly while people are still watching, just it only makes sense.
Right. Einstein out there on the gun channel side. He said, maybe I have a graphic popping up saying, click here to pull my finger. I don't know. What about that?
That's not a bad idea.
It's more of a Yankee move, but yeah, it could work. Mike, what do you think about those things?
I think it's cool, just depending on the content and how you use it, because once again, I think I read someplace you only have like 20 to 30 seconds to capture somebody's attention, and if you don't capture it within that time frame, mm-hmm. they leave.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of the strategy of how you're using it. And of course, your music plays an important part, color combination as well.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yes. Definitely. That's why you see a whole, and it's not really, it doesn't really hold true anymore. But at one time, red was a big thing on YouTube. And you've seen fonts in red, and you've seen backgrounds in red, and things in the thumbnail were red, and people wore red shirts and red caps, and, because there was some data that shown channels that used more red in their channels got more views and got more algorithm time and, you know, stuff like that. It was crazy. And you can still see that today. If you ever go back and do searches, particularly on older videos, you'll notice a whole lot of red in thumbnails. Not strike. What do you, what's your thoughts on the whole screen overlay thing?
Well, there's no right or wrong way of doing it.
Of course not.
There isn't. It's just since there's no right or wrong way to do it, everybody does it a little differently. And right. I am no exception to that. I'm trying to figure all this out, but, you know, again, I usually do live stuff, so this is new for me.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think it can have... It could have multiple effects. I think you could use it certainly Einstein out there was pointing out. You could use it certainly for some comedic effect, especially if there was a certain part in your video that, you know, maybe you messed up on, and instead of editing it out, you know, use that as sort of a comedic effect.
Yeah, put that at the end of your video.
Well, no, I'm talking about leaving it in the content, but then, you know, we're only talking about you screwed up one word or, you know, something when you messed up, but do some kind of a little, you know, a little comedic overlay on it of some sort, you know, and then again, we're talking about doing call to actions, you know, and reminders for people as well. So I think it could be, I think there's multiple things you could use them for. I do think it's an interesting idea. Hottie, let you jump in here real quick.
Hey, thank you. I actually took down a couple of notes while everyone was going over their stuff. So yeah, I have seen this. I have seen certain people do this, and it definitely has its place. My thing is, I mean, just as a suggestion, don't overuse it and don't do it in every video for every little punchline or every little web address that you want to send somebody to. I say in my note here, I say use sparingly and only on occasion. I said it is really cool to see that animation, that kind of animated pop-up look of someone meeting someone special, saying, you know, isn't this awesome, or I never thought I'd meet this guy in my life, and he's truly an awesome guy or an awesome gal. And be sure to follow Hank Strange or Clint Smith or look him up anything like that. Yeah, I mean, this sort of thing definitely has its place. It's not something that I think needs to be done in every video. It's something that it should be another tool in your toolbox.
Yeah. Yeah. And on the color thing I was mentioning, there's some chatter about that. We've got Thermal Redneck out there talking about the human eye catches the color green faster. But he's like, if you're red, green, colorblind, that won't matter. Philo's dropping that yellow homes sell first, which is, I mean, yeah, colors can make a difference. I mean, certainly, you know, if you do those overlays, I mean, they may catch faster. Now, before we move on, and this is something I think that would be more toward maybe the end of the video, I'm guessing, but Patriot saying, what about outtakes of mistakes? And that depends a lot on how you produce the content and whether or not, I guess, to me anyway, and I'll run this through the panel and just get an idea. I think that it's contingent upon a few things. It's how you produce your content and whether or not your it's anything that's going to have any type of comedic value or whatever. And then maybe, you know, is this going to be considered funny or entertaining in any way? Then you've got the element, if you put it at the end, is it going to be something that, you know, they're going to stick around and watch once that's the content's over? And then I guess the other thing that would concern me about that, and obviously I haven't done this yet, is in keeping with the tone of the content or whatever. I think that might work okay for some videos, but possibly not others. Hottie, what do you think on the whole outtakes thing?
I think it has its place, depending on who you are and what your personality is. I mean, if you are somebody who likes to infuse comedy into your videos, then yeah, it's got a place. You know, I mean, I'll sit around for an extra 30 seconds to watch WS Yankees outtakes and just watch him kind of laugh at himself and give me something to laugh at Yankee about other than his just regular old personality.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, that's about all I can say. But yeah, I can't say it's for everybody. You know, I definitely can't say it's for everybody.
Yeah, agree. And that's why it's good to get, you know, it's why these panels are good, because, you know, we don't all necessarily agree on everything and our methods are all different and whatnot. But, you know, it's a good idea to kind of get, discuss it and kind of get where other people are coming from and what they're thinking. And, you know, that may in the end help us too. Not Strike, what do you think about the whole outtake idea?
Well, I don't know. I, on one hand, I think it might be better to do outtakes, just like take all of your outtakes that you've done and put them into like a single video. And right, make that like a an extra, but at the same time, I kind of like the idea. Sometimes people put their outtakes at the end of their videos,
right?
Well, that's fun too, but again, it's just it's really up to the content creator on which they'd rather do, whether leave their outtakes in or make a separate video.
Right.
Or do something entirely different.
Sure. Sure. Mike, what are your thoughts on the whole outtake idea?
Depending on the way you are, like the message you're portraying, the outtakes can be funny, can be sad, or just be just straight to the point. Hey, this is the end with your credits rolling, thanking the different various people. But it also depends on the mood of whatever you're displaying.
Right. Yeah. And I don't think that, you know, we talk about, you know, I got into this trap before, you know, just mentioning this and starting down the panel, but I didn't think about utilizing just because it's an outtake doesn't have to mean it has to be a screw up every funny. Like if you're talking about a training course or something, you could just have some random outtakes of people shooting or holstering up or, you know, loading their magazines or, you know, even something like that, maybe. Kind of like Night Strike said, extra footage, B-roll, extra, just a little extra content for people if they really enjoyed it and, you know, was sad to see the video end and wanted a little more. Well, here it is, you know. Budget.
Well, I don't really do the blooper thing because nobody wants to watch me cussing.
Right. That's a lot of mine, believe it or not. Yeah.
So I tend not to show those.
Yeah.
I mean, it might be something that I might do in the future for like as a patron exclusive for Patreon or something. But
you know,
particularly if I start to try to make an effort to make my outtakes funny, but instead of, you know, a lot of cussing. But as it stands right now, yeah. Nobody wants to watch me cuss.
Yeah, because, you know, I'll be out and if I'm on my range or, you know, I'm doing something in the yard and, you know, I live in the country, man, and there's log trucks. There's, you know, Joe Redneck with the, you know, 8-inch exhaust pipes on the diesel pickup wanting to drive in low gear 50 miles an hour down the highway or something. And yeah, I don't have nice things to say about those people when they ruin a shot. So
with his glass packs or smoke stacks.
I'm telling you,
he's got going.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. G, now I know seeing outtakes and funny stuff from G, that would be, you know, I would likely pay to see that. But what do you think? I mean, would there be a point to it that you can see, G?
Well, as a professional, I've never made a mistake, so I'm probably not wanted to talk on
I this. I expected that answer from you. I totally
agree. Has anybody here ever seen any of G's ninja videos?
I don't guess.
Is that a no?
Personally, I'm not a big fan. I think what Night Strike said, put them all in a pile and show them people that want to see it. But
right.
I don't know. If you leave it at the end of your video, I don't care. But if you leave it at the end of the video and you got people like me watching and they leave, then you just got a bunch of unviewed time.
Right. Yeah. And I think all of us agree it's an end roll thing, you know, if it's going to be in the content. Ghost, I'll let you jump in on this real quick.
I think it could be an idea to be used. It depends on the content. If it's a serious video or a serious topic, probably don't want to do bloopers. If it's a more lighthearted, funny one, you could use bloopers. But like you said, it doesn't always have to be bloopers. You know, B-roll or something like that, just doing something that maybe kind of breaks up where they're not looking at, you have to look at your ugly mug and listen to your, you know, monotone voice all the time. Maybe it helps certain things, but I think that the more serious a video is, it may or may not be. But if it's going to be a lighthearted, funny video, then I think it fits right in there. I think you just have to be real careful with it, though.
Hey, I want to pick up on something that Ghost said there. So let's just say hypothetically someone's talking about a very serious video and they're talking about let's say PTSD awareness. I mean, when they end that video, I mean, I would not mind seeing a little clip pop up and saying, you know what, if you're still hanging with me, please feel free to support or at least go check out these two or three different foundations or charities. Well,
see, that's where we're gonna disagree, because I think that would be an issue. That would be something important to put within the content, and I'm actually gonna talk about that. We're gonna talk about that right now, as a matter of fact, because that's the next one on the list here, which is link.
Okay.
which is link cards. And if you're not familiar with those are where you go in and there's a little bubble. If you're watching, there's a little bubble on the top right-hand corner of the screen, right? And up there, you can put links to playlists. You can put links to videos. You can put links to websites. You can put links. They got to be verified websites, but websites. You can put links to multiple things up in there. And that's one thing that I've been using in a fashion. I haven't really been using it in an active way, right? I've been using it in a very, what is the word, where you... passive way. Been using it in a very passive way where I just throw like some cool videos, you know, I think of there, and they may not be even be related, right? And then throw my website link up there or something. And then that's it. That's all I do. I'm paying no attention to that in the actual production of the video or anything like that. And my thoughts are that maybe some of us, because I know, like I said, I'm guilty of this. I think some of us are not utilizing those to their full potential, kind of like possibly the screen overlay we talked about earlier. You've got an opportunity with those link cards to put things in there that directly relate and that you can mention during the video. You can say, you know, hey, if you're interested in, you know, today we're going to do, you know, go into your content. Today we're going to do a review on this, you know, SOG filter pocket knife. And if you're interested in, you know, SOG knives, I've got a playlist, you know, of all the reviews I've done. And it's up there in the link. You actually tell people that it's, hey, that link card is up there, right? And you could do that for multiple things, like Hottie was mentioning. And couple things to keep in mind is, number one, you want to do that not at the end, I don't think, but do it before your retention time is up. So if you've got a, let's say, a 6 minute audience retention, make sure that you try to get that in before that 6 minutes is up. Another thing is to make sure that you mention, obviously, that it's up there. So, you know, you want to put, and then when you go in, because you put your cards in after you upload to YouTube. So when you go in to put your cards in, those link cards in, make sure you place those at the appropriate time. You know, they're around about, and it can be give or take several seconds or so. It doesn't have to be precise, but, you know, tailor those around when you're talking about, you know, that the link to that. And it can be another channel. It can be like, hey, you know, if you're interested in what I did here, you know, Ghost Tactical did a video on this, right? You know, a few months ago, and I got the link to his up there. So, you know, you're talking about cross promotion. You could cross promote channels, all kinds of things. But I guess using those in a more, I think a lot of people use those in a very passive way, but I think we're missing the boat. I think we can be using those in a more, you know, just in a more active, a more aggressive manner, I think, to, again, sort of like a call to action. Ghost, what do you think?
Oops, sorry, probably should unmute. The end screen, you want end screens, right?
No, I'm talking about the cards.
Oh, the cards. Yeah, the cards are great. The cards, I think that, and we're talking about end screens a little bit later on, so I'll do that. But the cards are actually pretty valuable because you just have to assume that people may not wait around to see the end screen. So if you've got something new that you want to get out, I read something, this is about 6 months ago, and I thought it was brilliant. It said that whatever your video length is, don't put your first card, start it at 1/3 through the way of the end of the video, because you don't want to put it too early because people might click on it and they won't come back to your video. You don't want to go too late because they probably are too invested in the video that they won't click on it. If you put your first card about 1/3 into the video, and I thought that's a pretty good idea because at least you're getting them for 1/3 of the video if they do click on it, excuse me, and all that. So, yeah, I think they're very valuable. Like you said, you can do so many things. You can do playlists. You can do videos. You can do websites. You can do channels. You can do all sorts of good things with the cards, and it's just one of those things that it kind of, it's just like a subliminal message because it kind of pops up there for a few seconds and leaves. So, yeah, I like it.
Well, and that brings up another dilemma with using them too, because if, you know, you're right. I mean, I totally agree that you don't want it too early, but then you don't want it too late either, according to your retention time. But then you got to realize that if you're actively mentioning that, then that's got to factor into your production sometime, right? At some point you're like, okay, I can't mention this website. I need about 4 minutes. And then when you're talking about editing and getting that to where it syncs up, that could potentially create an issue sometimes, you know, because you're out there filming, and a lot of times you're not real sure how many minutes of, you know, whatever of content you've got.
So, well, I've actually heard from different creators that they refuse to use cards because the last thing they want people to do is to leave that current video to go somewhere else. So, I mean, it's just the whatever philosophy you want. Well,
the beauty is, and that's a great point, and I'm glad you bring that up. And so just a reminder, I know we've talked about this before. As long as you're not pushing them off of YouTube, as long as you're pushing them to another one of your videos, as long as you're pushing them to even another channel, or, you know, another channel's video or a playlist, or as long as you're keeping them on YouTube, then it's not that bad, because YouTube values, we all know, watch time. And when I say watch time, I mean, you know, engagement. So as long as they're within the platform, where it can get hairy, where it can get tricky, is if you're linking off-site. You know, you certainly wouldn't want it too early at that point. You would want to get as much as you could out of them first. So, yeah, just to keep that in mind. Gee, what are your thoughts on those cards? Have you use them much?
Yeah. So using that BitIQ tool, mm-hmm. Makes it easy to remind you to use them. And then they're pretty simple to use because there's presets in that BitIQ. So you just set up a bunch of videos. Basically, actually, you don't have to set up presets. It'll suggest videos that you can pull cards from. So once you've done it once or twice on a couple of your videos, it'll say, do you want me to just pull the cards from those videos? And you click like three buttons and you got your cards. And I don't go for the mind games of whether or not people are going to click off of it. It's basically the idea that if the machine, if the game over here on YouTube says those little cards make your video better, then put the little cards on there. Don't worry about what human beings are doing. You can't make human beings do nothing, but you can comply with the rules of the game and make your video more productive or more effective, right?
Yeah, that's true. And that is all another great point that I will point out, that along with some of the factors when you're dealing with YouTube, we're talking about, you know, a lot of this stuff applies to other, you know, any video platform it can apply to. We're talking about viewers and engagement and audience, of course, but specifically with YouTube and AI.
I feel like it wouldn't apply to GunTube because YouTube sucks and GunTube is awesome.
Right. Well, what I'm saying is it just works. It works differently. You know, a lot of those platforms don't have the ability for cards or things like that yet anyway. But yeah, there's a thing called relevancy, and I've talked about Morning Fame. I think I have the invite code down in the description, by the way, for Morning Fame, if you want to check that out. But that's one thing Morning Fame helps with is relevancy. And with cards, when you're talking about cards and end screens and the videos and the playlist and whatnot that you use, that does help with relevancy. So when you're talking about search and discovery and whatnot, when you're talking about fooling or gaining favor or whatever with the YouTube algorithms, then that does help the relevancy. I'm not saying it's a one button click magic solution that's going to get you a million subs overnight. That couldn't be farther from the truth. But it does help. Budget. What is your method on the cards?
I put them in if they're appropriate. I leave them out if they're not. I mean, if I'm speaking about something and I have a relevant video, I'll put a card up. Mm-hmm. I have cross promoted other channels for that. The one that comes to mind is I did that review on the Ozark Trail Batlight. And I put a card up linking to another channel that did a review on that. And, yeah, if it doesn't fit the video, I don't use it. If it does fit, I do.
Now, do you actively push that card at all?
If I'm planning to use a card in a video, I will mention, hey, you know, like for instance, as a matter of fact, when I cross promoted that other channel, it's like, you know, because I was talking about there are a lot of people that have videos of them, you know, smashing coconuts and watermelons and stuff like that with that bat thing. And I'm like, hey, if you want to watch that stuff, go to Reaper Militia Sidetracked. Here's a link. Or if I know that, say, I've already done a video on a particular topic and I'm revisiting it, it'll be like, hey, if you want to see more about this, check this video out.
Right.
I got a question for you, Budget. If it doesn't fit the video, must we acquit the video?
Yeah, absolutely right. Don't you know? Isn't that like written in the Ten Commandments or something?
Yeah,
it is now. I think.
Video, it doesn't fit the video. You must acquit the card.
Doesn't fit. You must acquit. Yeah, exactly. Mike, do you use any kind of strategy with those cards at all?
No, I don't do the cards. Because right now, the only thing I really use YouTube for is when I'm doing interviews for the podcast I'm part of, Black Man with the Gun podcast.
Right.
So say, for instance, if I was interviewing you, I use this means of Google Hangouts to record it. Then I just extract the audio from the video, edit it, and then that's my podcast.
Okay. So you're using it more as a production tool, what you're saying, basically.
Yeah, because me personally, I really hate doing movies, like videos. Really hate it. And the only reason being is every time I get used to using some form of an editing program, next thing you know, it changes or it gets wiped off. Because the last one I was using big was Sony. Uh-huh. And now I can't even log on to it or find it again. So everything else I've been doing far as video content now is like literally on my phone, or I just record the video and just post it as it is.
Right. You know? I got you. Not strike.
All right. I don't personally use the cards because YouTube has had a long-standing habit of going and saying, oh, we've got this stuff available. Go ahead and use it. And then down the line, like maybe like a year or two down the line, saying, oh, by the way, we're removing this feature. So If I start using the cards, watch. I start using the cards. I put them on my videos. And then in like a year or two, they're saying, oh, we're canceling the cards because we don't think you need it anymore.
Dude, they're going to cancel YouTube, so you can never use YouTube. They change things all the time. But for that year, you're effective.
Right. Yeah, and plus the some of the stuff still remains if it was there before. You know, they did that with somebody jump in if they know what those were. Annotations. They got rid of annotations early mid last year or something. But if you used annotations up to that point, it's not like you've got a bunch of dead broken links on.
They also got rid of the video editor.
Yeah, but that was, that really didn't have there wasn't anything that could be affected after the fact for the video editor. It's just now you got to go find you a video editor, right?
Yeah.
Hottie, any thoughts or questions?
Yep. Same thing. I wrote down a couple of things. I'm going to piggyback off of something Ghost said, and I'm just going to make a little joke here. If it doesn't fit the video, you must omit the card. and then the only thing I really have to say is, in my personal experience, I don't click on those cards or little site, just little links on top of a video, because the video I'm on is what I'm actually there to see.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to go back to something that I mentioned a few minutes ago. I say here why I mentioned doing it in the outtake section is because that's when someone is most likely to actually click off your video and go check out whatever they are actually pointing to at that point in time.
Right.
If it's a product, if it's a charity, I mean, it really doesn't matter what's pulling at the heartstrings at that point in time, or what you're looking for, what you're searching out, what you're trying to do.
Right.
That's all I got.
Well, let me ask. I think I got a two-parter here. If somebody actually made the sale for talking about active promotion of that card they put in, would you be more likely to click it at least after that video is done? You go, oh, well, you know, that was cool, and I want to know more about what he talked about earlier. And then, so once that video is done, would you then go up there and click that?
As in, if someone's showing off a product and they're sending me to a website.
So if I was in my video, right? Right. And I'm talking about let's use a suppressor, right? I was in there, and okay. I was talking about a suppressor, and it was just a use. I was running subsonic ammo through it. It was showing how well it worked. And during that video, I said, hey, you know, I took, you know, whatever. And I said, you know, if you like this, he said, while we're doing this or whatever, you know, Ghost Tactical did a video where they tore down this suppressor and looked at the internals and how it all works. And if you would like to check out that, I've got a link for you up in the cards, right? And you go, you're really, really interested in what I'm doing with the suppressor, but because I sold you on that, you're like, ooh, that's interesting. I want to see, this is cool, him shooting the suppressor, but now I want to see it taken apart and see what's really going on inside. So once the video is over, if the sale, I guess, for you to click that is good enough,
mm-hmm.
would you click it once my video is over? Would you then click and go to Ghost and watch that, the teardown video of the suppressor, potentially?
Yes. Yes, I would.
Right. So it we come back to not passively just putting, if I just passively put that up there and never said anything, I get you. You're probably going to go through the whole thing and say, screw it, and never click it, right? Probably not even realize it's up there. And that's part of the problem, I think, with the cards. If you're looking to keep people on YouTube, push people to another thing they might be interested in, promote another channel, a charitable cause, be it a website, whatever you're trying to do. That's why I think that a lot of people drop the ball with cards. I think they could be actively promoted more.
Yeah, totally. If it's something I'm sold on, yeah, if you point me to another source of information, I'm going to go hit it up.
Definitely. Right. And then the last one here, and hopefully we can get through these and get done, because it looks like we got a traditional after hours going where we are going to be here forever. But we're going to talk about end screens a little bit. And end screens is one of these things that I've struggled with for a while, and I've done it because they're at the freaking end. And I know that the vast majority of people, including myself, They just don't watch that long. Once it fades into what I know is the end screen, a lot of times I'm gone, right? And it's one of the things where I do them. It's kind of like what G mentioned with VidIQ and some of these other things as far as relevancy. And they want, you know, as far as the AI or whatever wants that type of stuff. So I kind of do it for that. But I don't put a lot of stock into, you know, is it really effective, right? So some things to keep in mind about end screens, and what I think, this isn't necessarily what I do, but what I think may be more effective and I'm going to start working on myself is, you've got the last 20 seconds of the video within that last 20 seconds, right? So one thing I think I've been guilty of, first of all, is putting, you have to put at least one video or one playlist in an end screen. You have to. It's required. Outside of that, I think my end screens have been too busy because I'm like, here's the website, here's the Patreon, here's some videos to watch, blah, 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 right? You know, the subscribe button, couple of playlists, the video, Patreon, website, it's just too much. So one reason I wanted to talk about the cards, the screen overlays, was maybe utilizing other things to, first of all, free up space in that end card to make it a little more clear and to the point, and then maybe only have at most like a couple of calls to action. like maybe another don't forget to subscribe, or maybe you know, if you like this video, leave a comment, or you know, if you like this video, check out these, or if you like this video, hey, maybe drop in on one of our live streams, or hey, if you'd like to support the channel, you know, you would like more private content or special content or whatever, here's our Patreon, right?
Hit that notification bell.
Yeah, exactly. Those call to actions. But by utilizing the other stuff, it simplifies that end card a little bit. But you get into a situation, again, where when that end card starts, right, people bail, right? And I'm guilty of that. So I know for a fact it happens. So what if you took that end card? And again, we're talking about the way we produce our content and we edit, and it might take a little bit of extra time until you get the procedure down for doing it. But since that, because the way I do it now is I cut straight to an end screen, right? What if I bled that to where the end of my content actually runs into the end screen? So for the first 5 seconds, 10 seconds maybe or so of the end screen, I'm finishing up the content. And then the last 5 or 10 seconds or whatever it is the actual end screen. Would that work a little better if the end screen actually started before the content itself technically ended? I don't remember who I started with. I asked, I think Ghost. So start with Hottie. What do you think?
I would say it's something to try. Yeah, I mean, just like everything that we're talking about here, we gotta be playing around with this and seeing what keeps people's attention, seeing what gets the information that we're trying to get across to them actually implanted into their heads. Of course. I mean, if that's something that you have thought about as you think would be a good idea, is to maybe cut down the overall time that your whole end screen is showing and bleed that off and cut that in half and then finish up your video and then fade your end screen in. Heck, I mean, why not try it?
Well, what you would do, the way I'm envisioning this, and Roosted out there on the gun channel side, so she already does this. What I was thinking was whatever's on your main screen, your content, right? About, you know, take that and minimize that into the end screen, right? And then, you know, finish up what you're saying, and then the elements come in, you know, whether it's the subscribe or the playlist or the Patreon or whatever it is. Then those come in right as you finish up your content. You mention those, and then you're done. Well, so that the content is actually a portion of the end screen itself.
Right. All I was going to say is, creatively, there's 1,000 ways to make that.
Yeah. Yeah. That, oh yeah. There's bunches of ways to do it. Nice strike. What are your thoughts on the whole end screen thing and all there?
There's not really a lot I can add. I mean, you guys have all, you know, said great things. So I'm pretty much left with nothing.
Okay. No questions or anything?
No, I'm good.
All right. Mike, I know probably with the way you say your content is, you probably don't use them, but any thoughts on maybe what you've seen in other videos?
I've seen a lot of people fumble them, but then again, when you fumble them, that's the only way you're going to get better at it.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think end screens are a hard thing to get down and get right. I really do. I know for a fact I haven't done, you know, that's why we're talking about it tonight, is that's one thing I was looking into, and I thought, okay, well, we need to talk about this on After Hours, because this is something I've obviously struggled with, and I've got some ideas on how to do it better. So, yeah. What do you think about them, G?
Have fun with them. If somebody's watching all the way to the end and they're an ally and they're looking for more and they're interested in what you got to tell them. If you could put a cookie cutter, same thing up there, then there's no reason to watch it. Just like the beginning, most people blow it off and don't even put it on there. So you have an opportunity to have a whole nother conversation with your people. There's some something to be said for consistency, but that's where I say have some fun and
yep.
We're talking growth. When I was in the growth mode and I was still playing with YouTube as a with interest in getting subscribers and shit, we would put quotes at the end of the videos. People dug that, and I just put up a new quote for every video. And there was a reason to watch it. We'd let people know about other channels, other videos or projects that we were doing. Nowadays, you can let people know about secret Patreon things or something. You can let people know about other projects you're working on.
Right.
There's so many ways to play with it that I'd hardly blow it off. The worst thing you can do is do what most people do, and that's ignore it or cookie cutter it. And then you're basically telling your viewers, don't bother. Get out of here.
You could even go as far as maybe do like a promo code for your swag store and do it for a limited time, obviously. But and then that the people that took part of that promo were, actually stayed all the way through. So it could be a measurement tool, I think, as well. But you're totally right with the concept I'm thinking about. If you blend your content into the end screen, then that's something that in production you're going to have to deal with, because you're going to have several sentences or whatever it may be at the end of your content that you're going to have to, it's going to be extra stuff you've got to produce to, of course, blend into that end screen every time you shoot a video. But we're talking about just a few minutes worth of time. I don't think it's a massive undertaking. And then you're right. It would make that end screen, it would sort of be the same, because I'm sure your background and the placement, that could stay the same, but the actual talking and what you're talking about or whatever you're doing on the end screen would be completely different every time. It wouldn't give it that seamless stopping point of a static end screen every single time that might cause somebody to just immediately click away.
Sit down time and tell an interesting story that takes a few minutes to tell, and then chop that into manageable pieces and put that over some text that you feel is important to bring people's attention, and then that way they have something interesting to pay attention to. Watch an interesting movie, and that you stick around to the end, or that you stick through the credits because they're funny.
Right. Exactly. End credit scenes and stuff like that. Ghost.
I look at end screens two ways. One, I use them every single video, and I've used the one I'm currently using now for a month or so, and I tend to kind of like it, but I look at one of two ways. One, if people watch your videos all the time and they're accustomed to that static endpoint, goes into the end screen, they're probably not going to. I don't look at it as that being a negative. I look at it as I'm trying to capture the first-time viewer. If you're a first-time viewer, you've never seen that end screen before, so you might want to stick around and check it out and see what happens on it. So I try to make mine interesting. It's not just overlays over someone talking. Now, that being the second point, there's nothing worse for me as a content viewer is to watch someone's video, and all they do is the last 20 seconds of their normal talking video. All of a sudden, these four screens pop up on the screen. It covers their face. It covers the gun that they're holding or whatever. If you're going to do an end screen, do it right. If you're just going to put the four screens over the end of your talking and you really lose the last 20 seconds of the point you're trying to make, then just don't do an end screen. If you're going to do it right.
Yeah.
Easy. Just give yourself 20 seconds of pause or do some funny faces or
point. Yeah, you could do that, but a lot of people don't do that. They just kind of just put them right over themselves talking. Oh, yeah, that drives me nuts.
Right. Well, that's
a good point, though, and it ruins it, like you're saying, if you're trying to make a point. And it's easy enough to just remember that you're going to throw those things on there, and they're going to take, like you say, a couple of seconds. So just leave some time on the end there.
Well, that or just like I said, in post-production, just take and minimize that to quarter screen instead of full screen, as your end screen comes in and the elements are popping up and they're not over the top of you, you're still there, your quarter screen or half screen size, You know what I'm saying?
I like that idea.
Damn. And you still get all the content, but in all that other stuff. And then by the time your content is over and you're ready to talk about the end screen, whatever you got going for the end screen, right? Well, then you're already minimized. All your elements are there, you know, and then you say, click here to, you know, follow us on Patreon or click here to subscribe or click here to watch this video, you know, if you want to see more or go to this channel or whatever it might be. So, yeah, it's all in delivery. And like Mike said earlier, very few people are doing it right. So, you know, I think that's something we've really got to be careful with. Well, with that, I think it's about time to get out of here. So we'll, let's run this through the room one last time. And, you know, you, ain't got to go home, but you can't stay here, as they would say. So, Ghost, what do you got before we go?
I just want to remind everybody of the ATF comment period ends June 27th. So make sure you get over there, let your voice be heard, not just about bump stocks, but about rate of fire issues. Let them know however you feel, let them know your voice and all that. Secondly, I encourage anyone and everyone to turn on the camera, be part of the community. The more voices we have in our community, the stronger we are. I just put a video out there about some channels that I have started watching and gotten to know, Mike being one of them. If you're not watching all these channels, you don't have to, but please go check them out because you might miss out on something that you might, the content you might really like. So support each other and just be part of the solution.
Absolutely. G-Webs, what you got, buddy?
Not much. Thanks for the invite.
Yeah. You bet. Mike, you got a whole plate of stuff going on. But
oh, yeah. You know, I'll just try to stay busy with it. But just like Ghost had said beforehand, just go out, support everybody. And once again, you know, one hand washes the other. And in that content, you'll get the word out one way or another. Even if you don't like to listen to one person talk and you like the way somebody else talks, the message is still going to be sent across because, you know, people still interact with each other.
Yeah. Yep. Agreed. Not strike.
Man. Yeah. My final words are this, just, get out there and do it. Yep. There is no right or wrong. Just get out there and do it. If you find out things aren't working, well, you figure it out what does work. Just keep at it.
Yep. I feel like that's wrong.
Well,
that just doesn't sound right. Yeah, doesn't sound right. I don't know. I think it's just because Night Strike is saying it. That's why it doesn't sound right. If there's anybody else, I would just believe it. But
no, just keep on going. Don't stop. You know, don't let people discourage you, and just keep at it.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Kind of like going to Tulsa, but that's never mind. That's a different story. Hottie, what you got, bud?
Hey, man. Hey, thank you for having me. I'm going to pick up on something that Mike was saying. You know, like you said, both hands wash the other. One hand washes the other. Both hands wash the face. Gunchannels.com. Guntube.com. Everybody, if you're not already.
.org.
If you're, .org, I apologize. You're right. You had to be a little weird like that. Guntube.org. I apologize. Clover, thank you for having me. Other than that, you can find me at 2Hottie206 on Instagram.
Bet.
Thank you.
Awesome. And I will be back tomorrow. It's Firearm Friday, 10 Eastern, 9 Central. Gonna be interesting. Hopefully tomorrow I will have Kirk from A1 Custom Targets, Custom Steel Targets, I guess. Met him in Tulsa, the Wanamaker Tulsa Arms Show. So we're going to be talking with him about, you know, how they got started, what they do, all the cool things they have to offer, probably a little bit about the structural integrity, all of that stuff of steel plates and things. So join us for that. That should be a good one. Other than that, I'm assuming that a Daily Gun Show will be up here pretty shortly. And then tomorrow, before Firearm Friday, a full roster. After Firearm Friday, a full roster. So jump over to Gun Channels again. Check out the scheduling there. That's the easiest way to figure all of that out. And we'll see you then. Bye.